Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. And this really is the prayer of this particular broadcast, that our attention is directed to God's Word. Especially in the day and age in which we live right now, it seems like so many people are full of angst and worry because of the situation in the world and the situation in our own nation. It seems like, unfortunately, many believers have lost sight of the fact that what is going on in the world today is allowed by God to go on. And we get so fretful and we get so fearful and we get so much of our attention focused on who is in office, who's not in office, what's going on in the politics and the culture and all of these things around us. And we forget God is in control. God is the one who has allowed those to be in office who are in office. And our responsibility is to stay close to Him and focus on the truth of His Word. So often as believers today, we lose sight of the fact that the Bible tells us that as this age progresses, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, not only out in the world, but sadly, even in the professing church today. And we get our focus off of these things and we become worried, and yet what we need to do is realize what God's Word has to say about what's happening in the world and even what's happening in the church around us. So in this episode of FEA Today, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to read an article to you that I came across and that I think is very apropos to the situation in which we find ourselves today. This article was written at the early part of the 20th century by a man named J.H. Sammis, and we'll talk a little bit about him here in a moment, but J.H. Sammis was a godly Presbyterian minister in the Midwest, and toward the end of his life began to teach at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles back in the early part of the 20th century. He lived from 1846 to 1919, and he wrote an article in the early part of the 20th century called A Word for the Times. And I want to share this with you because I think it's so encouraging and important for us to focus on and keep our attention on the content really of this article, which really is scripture, what the Bible has to say. So I want to read this and then we'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Sammis in a moment. He writes, "How solemnly the Book of God warns against new and false doctrines. Jesus said, 'Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many,' Matthew 24:11. Peter said, 'But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you,' 2 Peter 2:1. Paul too testified, 'Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit,' Colossians 2:8. And again, 'For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ,' 2 Corinthians 11:13. John also solemnly and tenderly warns, saying, 'Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists,' 1 John 2:18. So everywhere the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy 4:1. These new doctrines are not necessarily opposed to good morals, attractive qualities of character, charitable deeds, and a fair show of piety. For, says the apostle, quote, 'Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness,' 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. He even says that they shall have a form of godliness. And the Lord Jesus says that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, Matthew 24:24. The apostle again warned to identify and avoid those who by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16, 17, and 18. See how much they must resemble the true teaching if they endanger the very elect? Even signs and wonders will be performed to seal the false doctrines. God will permit such things to be done to try men's hearts, whether they will heed his word or not. Even the teachers themselves, being hoodwinked by the devil, are described as deceiving and being deceived. Therefore, no matter how good and attractive a new religion may be, no matter how genteel or even pious it may be, no matter what miracles it may claim, we must not be deceived by it. It is not what the teachings of Christ may adopt and hold, but what of his teachings it denies or ignores that distinguishes a true faith from a false faith. The essential marks of the gospel are these: the authority of the Bible, the deity of Christ, the efficacy of his blood for the justification of believers, the necessity of the new birth, and salvation through faith by the free grace of God apart from works to whomsoever will. All false religions deny these, the very characteristics of revealed religion. The cornerstone of all is the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation is the great fact and reason of history and salvation. The cardinal truth is God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Those who deny this deny the rest. The Latter-day Saints deny it and make our Lord a polygamous man. Millennial dawn, that is the Jehovah's Witnesses, deny it, teaching that Christ did not pre-exist as God and does not now exist as God. The Seventh-day Adventists deny it by teaching no existence apart from the body, hence the Lord did not exist while his body lay in the tomb, in which case he could not be God, for God must exist always. Christian Science denies it by teaching that God is all and all is God, denying thereby the unique deity of our Lord Jesus and teaching the manifest error that we are God. New Thought, Fellowship, Theosophy, Spiritism all join thus to deny the Lord that bought them. And though they should come as angels of light and bring signs and lying wonders, we must have nothing to do with them. Our safety lies alone in the old book. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17. The Bible is a common sense book. You are a common sense person. Read it for yourself. Do not read your notions into it, nor those of any other person. You will soon see that its language, its teachings, and its God-glorifying spirit are very different from those of any of the sects just mentioned. It makes little of man and much of God. That is the opposite of all man-made gospels, or women-made gospels either. Of the Lord Jesus Christ it is written, "There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." The power of that name is in his deity. Christ is God. In that lies the power of his word, the power and preciousness of his blood, and in that all our hope of overcoming the world, rising from among the dead, 1 Thessalonians 4, and finding salvation to the uttermost, Hebrews 7, 25. It is because our Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, that his name must be preached in all the world as the only and almighty Savior and teacher of men. It is because he is both God and man in one that he can be and is the only mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And there is and can be no other intercessor between men and God but himself, Hebrews 7:25. It is because he is both Son of God and Son of man that there shall be no final triumph of his kingdom until he comes to subdue the enemy of God and man and to establish his universal rule in his own glorious person. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, Matthew 25:31. Take no man's word for it. Read the Gospel of John, the first eight chapters of Romans, and the epistle to the Galatians, and see what God's word says of the Son of God, of the blood of Christ, of the grace of salvation through faith alone. Let no man deceive you, 1 John 3:7. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed, Galatians 1:6-9. I beg you to consider that if you hold to the old gospel as given in the old book and followed in the old time, you cannot be condemned by him who said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, Ephesians 4:14. That we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, 2 Peter 1:19. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled, Matthew 5:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This applies to the whole Bible. Even Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 tells us, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. The test of saving truth is the word of God, but equally important is the test of personal salvation. There are tests for gold and tests for diamonds and tests for more precious souls. No matter what your doctrine or what your ism, unless you're walking in daily personal fellowship with the Father and the Son, your hope is vain. Only by the old gospel can you know forgiveness of sin and experience Christ in you, the hope of glory. Note the sum of the matter. The scriptures foretell the rise of false teachings. These false teachings are so fair as to almost deceive the very elect. There will also be accompanying signs and wonders that are intended to supposedly prove their truth. The Word of God, however, warns us most solemnly and constantly against them. The old gospel, the old book, must be itself the standard of the testing of all of these teachings. What is contrary to or negligent in its teachings, the Word of God detects and condemns. Prayerfully compare the Bible with the doctrines, all that is said, the language with which it has been said, and in what spirit it was spoken. Do not let the new teachers explain the book for you. Use your own common sense and stand by the plain teachings for your very life. You cannot go wrong if you heed the old. You may, you surely will, if you follow the new. There is nothing good in the new but what has been borrowed from and is already in the old. We simply need to heed and practice it. That's the end of this short article and how true it is. That is certainly a word for the times that we must understand from God's word itself. Now, it's interesting because this man, J.H. Sammis, you may not realize this, but he is the author of the hymn that we often sing, Trust and Obey. In that, he writes, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. That is my exhortation to all who are listening. In the world in which we live, understand, we need to trust the Lord and his word and abide in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That needs to be our focus. Not on all the happenings going on around us, a political and cultural and philosophical and otherwise. We need to continue to stand on the old book and believe it and live it out in our lives. And that's what I want to encourage you with today. I thank you so much for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you.